First Corinthians chapter 7. Start from verse 1.
Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and to come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your intimacy. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that.
St. Paul is saying, Corinthian church wrote him a letter in the verse 1. And he says, you wrote me a letter, but he is not saying in detail what they wrote. But from his words, he says, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. From that we know that St. Paul is writing to Corinthians. They had some kind of questions. If you remember chapter 5 and chapter 6, Paul was saying there is a sin in the church, and the man who is committing that kind of sin, that person should be excommunicated from the church. And then 6th chapter we learn about judging. He says, why cannot you judge the church member? Why are you taking your church member to court? And he was trying to say that God has given us grace to judge people, not only people, but he says we are able to judge even angels. So that's what he was trying to say in the chapter 6. Now chapter 7, if you start thinking, he says it is not good for a man not to touch a woman. Now he is not saying touch means just touching or say hello or shaking hand. He's talking more than that touching means. So God is not saying you should not say hello to somebody, you should not hug. Even the word of God says give a kiss as a holy kiss. But people take two different meanings. If you say kiss, I saw some people used to come to church, and there were so many young girls in our church at that time, and young boys will come and put a spray in their, you know, mouth and start kissing them after the service. Word of God is saying it is nothing wrong touching your own wife, but he says do not touch somebody which is not your wife. Verse 2.
Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband.
I told you not to touch somebody. Then it is difficult for people to understand. That means Paul is saying, don't even get married. He says, if you have a problem, it's nothing wrong to get married. But he says, you should have your own husband, and you should have your own wife. Don't touch other men or other woman. Okay, verse 3.
Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body.
Once you are married, you are partner. Nobody's slave here. Everyone is one in the body of Christ. That's why he says husband and wife. Husband and wife, they are equally respected in the word of God. So husband and wife is one in the sight of God. He created man and woman, and he gave them name, what? Adam. Read that in Genesis chapter 5 verse 2.
Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam when they were created.
So now he says, male and female he created, and what he did? He named them Adam. He did not say, okay, you are Adam and you are Eve. Then how the Eve came? Eve was not named by God, he was named by Adam. That means it is husband and wife's duty to please his own wife and please her own husband. Now, why this saying? Because some husband or some wife, they have control over their wife or over their husband. Sometimes husband is in a good mood to have a relationship with wife and wife is in not good mood. And the wife is in good mood and husband is not good mood. So here is saying you have to come to the unity. Your body is not yours and her body is not hers. You are body of Christ. So he says you have authority on your wife's body and wife has authority in your body. What does it mean? He says you feel like pleasing your wife or not, but if she has a desire, you allow her your body. That's what he is trying to say. And if somebody, certain times, some wife doesn't want their husband to touch them, at that time the husband has to understand. Otherwise he said, oh, my wife is not allowing me to touch, let's find somebody in the work. You should not allow this thing to happen in your Christian life. Verse 5.
The frog be not one the other, except to be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency.
You want to stay away from your wife. Only reason he gave, fasting and praying. You cannot say, well, I don't feel like loving you, so leave me alone for a year or 6 months. You cannot do that. Only you can do, ask wife, say, let's, we are going to pray for 3 days fasting and prayer. At that time, we will give our time to God. We don't have to touch each other. It's not sin, but he says, we want to dedicate our life for 3 days fasting and prayer. And so you ask your wife's permission and you ask your husband's permission. If they don't give permission, then you don't have to do that. God is not going to zap you. Everything should be according to the husband and wife's desire. God is not saying if husband and wife comes together and they pray that night, I'm not going to listen. Some other religious people are thinking. I'm not telling their name. Some people even though go in the ministry and they don't want to get married. It's not God's will. If God has given you that talent, you can do that. But you cannot do forcefully. Everybody comes to the ministry. Everybody has to give up their wives or not to have relationship with your wife. But the word of God is here is teaching, if you stay away from your wife for a longer period of time, then Satan will tempt you. And Satan will try to destroy your marriage. So there should not be long period of time staying away from your wife. Now many ministers keep their wife home and go for a journey for a year, 2 years. It's not God's will. God doesn't allow husband to leave the wife and go. Husband and wife should be together all the time. If you see myself and my wife, we are always shopping together, going trip together. We only one or twice when I went to Russia or some other place, but that was short period of time. Here it says short period of time. If I want to go somewhere and my wife says, you cannot travel, you cannot go, I cannot go. Verse 6.
But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath this proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that.
Somebody will say, who gave you this commandment? You telling your own, because we do not find this in Old Testament. So what he is trying to say, I speak with by permission. Whose permission? The permission of God. He says, God told me to tell you. And that's why I am telling you. And he says, if everyone be like me. What do you mean like me? He says, I'm not married. I don't have a wife. But there are some other people are saying Paul was married. And they will give some proof that he was a member of some group, and those group will not take them until that person is married. So they are guessing Paul was married. But he was married or not married, but when God called him, he did not have a wife with him. So he says, be like me. Means, I'm serving the Lord, I'm not married, or I don't have a wife with me, so be like me. But he says, if you have that gift not to get married, then do accordingly. If you don't, I'm not forcing you, you should not be getting married. Because God joined man together. God did not keep Adam alone. What he said, it is not good for man to be alone. So God found a companion for man. But the word of God says, God made Adam first. Each and every animal has the mate. Adam is the only one doesn't have. And God told Adam to name every animal when he is saying, there was none like man. Even the monkey is not like man. People are thinking we came from monkey. Adam didn't find monkey. And Adam didn't say, okay God, give the monkey for me as a wife. And so from his own flesh and own bone, he created woman. And so God wanted man and woman to be one body. Okay, verse 8.
I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn.
Unmarried and widows. He says, if you are a widow, I tell you, live like me. But if you cannot control your life, and if you are burning desire you have in your heart to get married, you cannot control yourself, then it is better to marry than burn. That means if somebody is really, really dedicated to the Lord, they will not looking for husband. But that doesn't mean you should not be looking for husband. The word of God says, if you have a desire to get married, it's not a sin. Verse 10.
And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife.
This is a little bit difficult to understand in the 21st century. He says, if somebody got married, and that person is not happy, maybe unsaved or something like that, and if that person wants to go away, then, if he wants to go, go. Means, if you want divorce, get a divorce. But what? Remain unmarried. If not, come back to your own husband. And now, in today's society, it is too hard. And now this is his saying, because this is the way Lord taught us. Chapter 10, verses 2 to 12. Mark 10.
And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife.
God says the man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife and they will be one flesh. Now in America or some other countries also, they love their son so much and they say mother's boy or father's daughter. And they love too much, father doesn't want to give this girl to get married. The mother doesn't want to give this boy to marry because they like them too much. And once they get married and they always talk about mother and mother and girls talk about father and father, and they think, this my husband doesn't like me, he likes mother more. And their marriages break. Here the word of God says, once you get married, go to your wife or go to your husband, leave your mom and dad. But it is better to stay away for at least 4 or 5 years to stay with the husband and wife. The father or mother should not interfere with their marriage. Otherwise, if you start interfering, don't treat my boy like this, or don't treat my girl like this, the marriage will not last. They should be alone with the husband and wife, leave the mother and father's home. That is the command. That's what God wanted. But here people, if they are poor, they cannot live, and then mother and father interferes with their family life, that is not God's will. Okay, let's read further.
And they twain shall be one flesh, so that they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery.
That's why St. Paul is saying, this is what in the beginning, if you marry somebody, you marry for what? For life. That's what it is. Now if somebody here, in they go for wedding, a court wedding or something, they get married, and then there is a other form is for divorce. So they get married and take other form. He said, what is this? In case I have to divorce. So the marry the same day and carrying the divorce paper the same day. That is not the will of God. We have to think, I'm married to this person for life. Now the problem comes sometimes, and you have to have divorce. And if you get divorce, then he says, stay without marrying somebody. Why he's saying this? He's saying this because if they are married, and the man is looking for another girl, and he is saying, as soon as I get divorced, I'm going to marry you. So as soon as he gets divorced and married, that means he was doing adultery in his heart all this time. So now he's getting married to somebody, he's doing adultery in front of all people. And the same way the girl wanted to find some excuse, and then as soon as she divorced and married to somebody within a short period of time, then you know that was planned beforehand. So what he's trying to say, important things, main thing is, do not divorce. Do not get separated. This is not God's will. And this teaching, if you teach to your children, Sunday school and things like that, they will learn. If you tell them, you know, you should not be living together until you get married, and you should marry. He said, what is marriage? Marriage is just a piece of paper. We can live together anytime we want, and we can divorce anytime. So they don't want responsibility. Marriage is not a piece of paper. Marriage is a commitment. Marriage is the covenant you make with your wife. It's not like we're living together for 6 years and 7 years, and then we can get divorced anytime. This is not biblical things. Now we're looking at worldly people and we're comparing about world does, so why cannot we do? We are not doing like what world does. That's what the word of God is teaching. I'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12.
But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. A woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him.
This is not Lord saying, I'm saying. Before that he says, I'm not saying my own, I'm doing with permission. Now here he is not giving you blanket permission to marry unsaved woman or unsaved husband. If somebody says, Paul says, if unsaved wife you have, keep her. Or unsaved husband you have, keep him. The word of God says, do not unequally yoke. What does it mean? you cannot marry unsaved wife or unsaved husband. You cannot take this scripture and say, Paul says, even if you are unsaved wife or unsaved husband, that's okay. He is saying, just think that you were both of you unsaved. And one of them got saved. Now what happened? Now you are saved and your wife is unsaved. Now what do? You cannot say, I became Christian, you are not believing what I am doing, I am going to give you divorce. But it's not telling Christian, go and marry somebody else. Like in another religion, they are teaching, if they want to increase their religion, they say, go and find a Christian woman. Or go and find some Hindu woman, and you can bring to Muslim religion, so we can spread our religion marrying other religious people. They are not prohibited not to marry unsaved or other religious people. But Bible teaches us, you do not unequally yoke. You should not have unsaved wife or unsaved husband. Even though this scripture says, in case you have already married, and now your wife is unsaved and you are saved, what you should do now? He said, don't divorce. But if that person says, now you became a Christian and I don't want to stay with you, I want to go, then let them go. Okay. Verse 14.
For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy.
Now, if somebody takes these scriptures, and they will say, all babies are holy. All babies are holy, and any child dies, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, or any child, that child should go to heaven. Jesus Christ says these children are innocent, and they belong to God. Now, here he's saying, if you are unsaved, or your husband or wife, one person is unsaved, then what happens? Their children, even though they are two different faith, their children are sanctified and their children are holy. Because according to the word of God, you should not be unequally yoked. So now somebody says, oh, that's a heathen child. Even the husband is saved and wife is not saved. Bible says, oh, that child is sanctified by the wife or by the husband. You remember Timothy? Timothy's father was not Jewish father. And his mother was Jewish. Now they start saying, he is heathen, he should be circumcised. According to the word of God says circumcision is of heart. But to shut those people's mouth, Timothy was circumcised. But now here Paul is saying, you don't have to do those things. Your children already sanctified if they are believers in the Lord. Okay, verse 15.
But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace.
Okay. So again he says, if somebody wants to leave, let them leave. You cannot force them to stay. If you start force them to stay, that means you are overpowering and you are fighting. God has called us for peace. If say, okay, if you want to go in peace, go. You don't fight with them to stay. Because if you force them to stay, they will bugging you all the time. If you do something, I'm getting out of this house. Go. The wife wants to go peacefully, go. Don't fight with me. If you want to go, go peacefully. I'm not going to bother you. And some people, they let the wife go and then go and kill her or kill her boyfriend. He says, we are Christians. If somebody doesn't want to live with you and they are unhappy, let them go. That means, let them go means divorce or separation is allowed because we are not robots. We cannot force somebody to serve you or stay in your house. If somebody wants to go, let them go in peace. Verse 16.
For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?
If you behave like a Christian and don't fight with your wife because you got saved first and she should be get saved right away, you don't fight. You show Christian love. wife also has to do the same thing. Sometimes the wife gets saved, and what the wife does, goes to Bible study, goes to prayer meeting, goes to convention, go here and there, and the husband stayed home. Why? Because, oh, he is not interested in the Bible. You cannot do that. You cannot leave your husband and run around thinking you are a Christian. You show your husband that you are a born-again child of God. You pray for him. You take care of his physical things. And you try to convince him and take his permission to go to church. Not leave him go for convention to convention, trip to trip and this and that. And then that marriage will not last. He says, you can win your husband with love. And so husband also can win wife with love. So here he's trying to say, we should not be fighting and having war. If somebody wants to live with peace, go. Do not fight, do not have war. And our Christian religion is not the religion of war. Our Christian religion is religion of love. God is love. You will not find love in any other religious books, only in the Bible. Okay, let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17.
But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any man called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised.
Find out what your calling is and walk according to your calling. You cannot be forced by religion or by somebody to do what they want you to do. Like I said, some religious people, they said, if you want to be a minister, then you cannot marry lifelong. That should not be done by force. You have calling to stay unmarried for life, that's okay. Now some churches will be telling you, if you want to be pastor, you should be married. And they force the pastor to get married because he says, pastor should be a husband of one wife. He just said, if you will be pastor, because in those days, they have more than one wife. So if you want to be pastor, we are looking for man who has only one wife. But they took different interpretation. If you want to be pastor, you better get married. That's not the answer. He says, if you God called you to be unmarried, then serve like that. Even though he gave the example of circumcision. Now it says, if you are already circumcised, then live like uncircumcised. How that works? Circumcision, you cannot do uncircumcision. This was taught 2,000 years ago. But today, anything can be possible. People can do and have such operation. They can say, oh, I was circumcised. Now make me uncircumcised. They can take the skin and put it back and make him uncircumcised. That's what not Paul talking. But people can do that today. Just think that somebody was a Muslim and he became a Christian. He wants to share, I'm not circumcised. He can go to the doctor and say, make me like I was never circumcised. They can do it today. What he's trying to say, don't be proud about circumcision or uncircumcision. Stay like this. Don't brag about this. And if you are not circumcised, don't look for circumcision. What he's trying to say, God is not looking uncircumcision or circumcision. He's looking at your heart. That's what he's trying to say. Verse 19.
Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God.
Circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing. What you need to see what the will of God is in my life. What God wants. What is the God's commandment for me? That's what he's trying to say. Verse 20.
Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men.
This is for 2,000 years ago. In those days, slavery was approved. Today, the slavery is vanished from USA. But the slavery is still in other countries like Sudan and some Muslim countries. They are still slaves. But he's trying to say, if you were a slave and you got saved, you don't tell your master, I'm Christian now, let me go because I don't want to be slave. If you are a slave and God called you, be slave. If you are born again, prove it to your master, you are a good slave. Now you are belong to Christ. If you are a master, don't treat somebody like a servant. When you got saved, you think like that, I'm not a boss, Jesus is boss. And treat somebody like you're not master, you're not slave, you're all one in Christ. That's Christianity. Christianity is not like a forceful religion. If you have a company and people are working under you, you should not be showing I'm somebody. You go work with them, show them how the work works, and be friendly with them. And give them money more than other people. If I have a company or factory someday, I will pay more to my workers than any other company pays. Why? Because we want to let those people think this is God's company, this is God's work, and you are working for the Lord. This money goes to win the souls, so this is your company. Just like a church. Church is not one man's church. All believers should think this is my church, this is my body, this is my work. So he's trying to say, we are all common in the sight of God. Nobody high, nobody low. Okay. He says, why? Because we are bought with a price. You should say, I'm a free man. I don't want to be slave to somebody. I'm slave to Jesus Christ. And even though if you're working from this, somebody say, that means you should not be working for somebody. If you're working for somebody, you are not slave to that person. You are serving the man for God. Now, one person was just washing the dishes. He was a born-again child. And he was washing and polishing and things like that. And somebody said, why are you wasting your time and polishing these things? He said, Jesus Christ might be come by. I can see Jesus in this. What is trying to say? I am doing for God. I am doing this washing dishes for Jesus Christ. So whatever we do, what the Word of God says, eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for what? Glory of God. So our work is not for us. We're doing for the Lord. We say we are bought with a price. What price? Jesus paid. He paid His blood. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 you read. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19-20 we read. We are bought with a price. Jesus Christ gave His blood for us. Verse 24, okay.
Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, it remaineth, that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not.
Now when this St. Paul wrote, at that particular time, they were thinking like Jesus Christ can come anytime. They were not saying Jesus Christ will come 5,000 or 2,000 years later. So they were saying, you know, we should be getting busy in the Lord. Busy in the Lord, even though you got married, you know, in the olden days there was a rule. If somebody got married and even though he's in army, they should let him go and how enjoy his wife honeymoon, and he doesn't have to go and fight. I hope that might be rule here too. But here he's trying to say, if you are married, not like a just married, you had a married life for years and years, now don't act like a teenagers. Act like now you should have time for the Lord. Married person should say, I'm just like I'm not married, I'm married to the Lord. Get busy in the Lord. But at the same time, the same man says, don't do that if you be staying away from your wife. Satan will come and tempt you. So in short, we have to have a wisdom of God to do everything, not what the Saint Paul is saying right now. If you are married, stay like you are never married. Same time, this man said a few minutes ago, if you are married, don't stay away from your wife for the long time. So he is trying to say, main thing is pleasing God. How can you say, I want to please God? And that should be focused even though you are married. Somebody cannot take excuse, I am married, that's why I cannot go to church. Or I bought the house, that's why I cannot go to church. There was a one family. They just bought the house and the lady didn't come to church for 1 or 2 years. I said, why are you not coming? Oh, I'm admiring my house. I said, who gave you a house? Jesus gave you a house. How long you are going to look at your house? One day you may not have a house. You have to be thankful what God has done. So if somebody says, I got a job so I cannot go to church. I got married so I cannot go to church. I got a house so I can go to church. So what I'm trying to say, there are people who do not understand the will of God. Being a Christian, you have to understand my job to please God, not to please my wife, not to please my husband, not to please my boss. I want to please my God. Okay. Let's read verse 31.
And they that use this world as not using it, for the fashion of this world passes away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord.
The fashion of this world passeth away. What does it mean? He's saying if you love the world too much, that world is going to pass away one day. All the things what is pleasing in your eyesight, they are perishable. Go to the 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15 to 17. Okay.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Now here he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now somebody saying, John 3:16 says what? God so loved the world. How can you say you don't love the world? Now, there are two different things. God was not lusting for the world. He was giving his son to sacrifice for the world's salvation. Here when you say, do not love the world, that means do not go after the worldly things. That's what the word of God is trying to say. Okay, please read further.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, is not godly. And so that's what he's saying. The world and things of the world is passing away. Read the verse 17.
And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
That's what St. Paul is saying. But the fashion of this world passeth away. This world is going to perish. Whatever you have, the house, the car, the building, the money, and the bank book, and everything, we are going to keep it here and go. Our eyes should be set on God. What should I do for the Lord? How can I win souls for God? How can I bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? How can I please my Father? And that's why verse 32, please read.
But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife.
When you are not married, you are pleasing God. This is not happening 20th century. Unmarried girls and unmarried boys, are they looking for God? How many young people are sitting in the church today? They are busy with looking for boyfriend and girlfriends. They are busy. But this is 2,000 years ago story he's telling. If you are not married, you are thinking about God, man or woman, because they are thinking about godly things. Think about Mary, mother of Jesus, holy woman. She was not looking for boyfriend. She was not spoiling her life. That's why she was highly favored in the sight of God. So today, if you are not married, the word of God says, don't look for a husband or don't look for a wife. God knows your desire. You thank God and please God, and God will give a husband or wife in a due time. Because God knows your need. If the word of God says, if you are hungry and thirsty, you will get the water. But if you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness' sake, you will be filled. You will be satisfied. Go after God first, and God will give you the right kind of wife or right kind of husband. Okay, let's finish. We are almost finished.
There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and he so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not. Let them marry.
He is telling you, if a man has a daughter, he said he should not be allowing them to get married. If they stay unmarried, that's good for them. There was a man in India, he did not allow his daughters to get married. They were all in 30s and 40s, and they were not married. So what happened? They have lots of problems. So as soon as the man died, his mother arranged all the marriages and everybody were married. The minister called Philip the Evangelist. He had four daughters and they were all prophetess. They were not married. But they were dedicated to the Lord. So Paul is saying everybody be like Philip's daughter will be better. But he says if it is not, and if you arrange the marriage for them because they are already in their age, it's not sin. But it's better if they're not married and working for the Lord. But it's very hard if you don't have a calling. You cannot hurry and get married according to your will, and you will get into more problems. Or 37.
Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the...
The wife is married, she is bound to the husband, and husband is bound to wife. They cannot marry somebody else until the husband or wife dies. So what they do today? Kill the husband or kill the wife? Then we are free, because otherwise we cannot get married if the husband is alive. So we have to get rid of him. Then only we can get married. He is saying natural death, not killing somebody to get married. So even though if you keep virgin until Jesus Christ comes, or if you married until Jesus Christ comes, stay the way you are. And they were thinking that Jesus Christ can come anytime. So he was saying, don't get married until your husband is dead. Verse 40.
But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God.
If somebody doesn't marry and stay without husband or without wife, that will be better. And I am just saying my own opinion. But you do what the Lord tells you to do. That's what St. Paul is saying. People cannot take the St. Paul's words and start twisting, because he said many a time, this is not a commandment, I am just giving my opinion. But the thing is this, the word of God says God hates what? Divorce. The same way God hates sin. Every sin is sin. Divorce is sin. If you rob somebody, sin. If you kill somebody, sin. If God can forgive every sin, he can forgive divorce also. But many churches will say, if you are divorced, you cannot be in the ministry. If you divorce, you cannot serve the Lord. If you divorce, you are a bad person. We are all sinners, and all sins will be forgiven. And so that person only has to say, I made a mistake once, I divorced. Lord, forgive me for my divorce. Somebody says, I didn't do anything wrong. Divorce is sin. If you divorce, ask God forgiveness. And then, if you want to get married, marry in the Lord. Ask God to find a husband. Don't be hurry looking for a husband. You don't make the same mistake again. So you have to be very careful when you remarrying somebody. Because they are going to look for your garbage before. Even though you did very wonderful, but it will be stumbling block in your marriage. I'm not saying keep everything in secret. Do what God tells you to do. You just say, I was a sinner, I'm saved by grace. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Give us grace. And let us please God. Be with us, sanctify us, and use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.